when it comes to the Great Lakes states, places like Michigan, Ohio, and even Wisconsin, there's a perception out there that economically these states can't really compete with the powerhouse cities and regions on the East and West Coast.
But our next guest says, not so fast. These perceptions, he says, are becoming increasingly outdated as the Great Lakes region comes back strong from the Great Recession. In a new piece, he lays out what the region is doing right and what work still needs to be done.
Joel Kotkin joins us now. He's a distinguished fellow in urban studies at Chapman University and executive editor of newgeography.com and executive director of the Center for Opportunity Urbanism. His recent piece is called The Comeback of the Great Lakes States. Joel, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
Well, so a lot of times the Great Lakes states, they're portrayed as flyover country. And you're saying there's actually a lot happening here. What piqued your interest in what's happening in the Great Lakes states?
Well, one of the things I do is I track the demographic trends with my colleagues. And one of the things that we found that was very, very interesting is particularly when we looked at 25 to 34 migration, that there had been a real uptick, particularly since 2010, in cities that you might consider or might historically be considered Rust Belt cities. I'm looking at, for instance, Pittsburgh did second. Cleveland did very well. There's definitely a trend where, you know, Milwaukee, for instance, grew as much as San Francisco, despite the tech boom. So, I mean, what you're really seeing is that I think the big thing that's going on is that the coasts have gotten to a point that they're so expensive that, you know, really very difficult to buy a house, very difficult to start a business, and that a considerable number of young people are moving either back to the Midwest or moving from here to the Midwest. Not uncommon for me living in Southern California to hear people say, well, my kids are living in Indianapolis. And that process is pretty well gone. Then you also have basic things like, you know, you guys have water, which we don't. You also have to a large extent, you know, a strong industrial base. You have a lot of skills. Of the Great Lakes have the biggest concentration of scientists and engineers in the country. So they've got a lot going for them. I mean, they're coming out of a very deep hole, but they're pretty far along. And we have to take a look at it this way: the unemployment rate in the Great Lakes states are actually lower than on either coast.
Now, just to take the first thing you started with, saying that the people are moving to these cities and away from expensive cities like San Francisco, LA, for instance. Isn't that the opposite of what we hear in the headlines? That we hear in Wisconsin, we're having trouble getting young people to stay. We use the phrase brain drain a lot. You're saying right. The evidence says otherwise.
Well, the evidence is that that is turning in a pretty significant way. The migration, the places where there's net migration at the highest level, both percentage-wise and numbers, really Chicago, L.A., and New York, New York in particular. New York has had a net out of about over 400,000 since 2010. You're not going to read that in the New York Times, okay? You're just not. But that's what the census numbers will tell you. The middle part of the country has really not been able to make a convincing case for itself. And I think, you know, sometimes you'll see a little article saying, well, there's two blocks of Cleveland that are kind of like Brooklyn, you know, and so there must be some progress. Without understanding that these places have some of their own strengths that draw people there. And, of course, there's also the issue of it's just become harder and harder and harder for a young family to get itself established on the coast just because of cost.
Now, you said that the resurgence of the industrial sort of manufacturing base that was here for a long time is part of what's driving this. But What is driving the industrial resurgence in the Midwest states?
Well, I think there are a lot of things. Now, of course, it's going to hit a little bit of a rough spot now because of the high dollar. But, I mean, you basically have automation, which means that you need skilled labor, but labor content is less. The natural gas revolution, I think, was probably about the most important part because it drove the cost of electricity down. So, for instance, the cost of electricity for an industrial user in Germany can be two or three times what it is in Ohio. So you have that factor as well. You have many You have much cheaper electricity. Labor costs are about the same as they are in, let's say, Japan and large parts of Europe. And even China has gotten to be, you know, considerably more expensive. And lastly, something that a German car maker who had established in some facilities here, and particularly in Alabama, but also in the Midwest, he said one of the big problems is a lot of companies are becoming very wary about building things in China because they feel they can't protect their intellectual property.
Well, we're talking right now with Joel Kotkin of NewGeography.com, and he says the Great Lakes states are experiencing a big economic rebound with industries like manufacturing, energy, and engineering leading the way. And Joel, what kind of job growth have these Great Lakes states seen?
Fairly good job growth, particularly Ohio has been very strong. Iowa seems to be doing reasonably well. Most of them are doing at or above the national average. The only one that seems to have been lagging, on a consistent basis, is Illinois, and because Illinois has got its own problems.
Well, let's look at Wisconsin in particular. What do you see when you look at Wisconsin? We've been talking a lot on this show and in the state as a statewide conversation about jobs. Are we seeing the jobs? Well, let's start there. How is Wisconsin doing?
Well, first of all, I mean, obviously the star in Wisconsin is Madison, and Madison is doing very, very well economically. Always, and I do the rankings for Forbes for best cities for jobs, and Madison is consistently towards the top. And you know, I've been out to the Epic campus outside of Madison, and you know that's a Silicon Valley like company out there, and you have some areas of strength, you know, really throughout the state, you have some inner city areas that are lagging behind, but overall, you know, Wisconsin's got, you know, fairly educated population, relatively low degree of poverty. You know, one of the things that my colleague Dick Morrill over at the University of Washington has done is he's traced, you know, what parts of the country have the highest levels of equality and which ones don't. And statewide, Wisconsin actually comes out looking fairly good, although, you know, Milwaukee definitely has its challenges. But that's, you know, predominantly because Wisconsin still has the heritage of being predominantly sort of Scandinavian German culture, which tends to be more egalitarian. Actually, if you want to look at the most equal parts of America, they're almost entirely the areas that are most heavily German and Scandinavian. So you can make the point that, you know, they had to be hardy enough to live in that climate. You know, there's a lot of ways of looking at it. But Wisconsin has a lot going for it. It has a fairly high education level, and obviously has a very good university. And has a very strong culture. I've been in many parts of Wisconsin, not just the big cities, you know, Green Bay, Kenosha, I've been really quite impressed with how Wisconsin operates. And I think for a lot of people, particularly younger people, it is a place where you can live the kind of life that, you know, frankly, is becoming very difficult to live in Southern California, the Bay Area, or New York, you know, unless you really struck it rich or robbed a bank or have rich parents.
Now, it's great to think of the Great Lakes states bouncing back, but is it more than just a local bounce? Is this affecting, say, companies around the world and the workforce?
Well, I think it is something that is happening in terms of, you know, people looking from all over the world and looking at where can I invest, where I can get the greatest return. And a lot of the Midwest states, you know, Ohio is probably the one that's done best, but there's a lot of investment into Michigan. People are looking, let's say, on the global level. I was just talking to somebody here in Southern California where, you know, some of the Korean car makers have their U.S. headquarters, and a lot of them are sending many of their middle-level jobs and their engineering jobs to the Midwest, where they say, look, we can get a good engineer for, you know, $110,000 a year, maybe his spouse or her spouse is making about the same. And, you know, for $200,000 a year, you can live really well. $200,000 a year in the Bay Area, you know, doesn't really get you very much.
We're talking right now with Joel Kotkin of NewGeography.com. He says the Great Lakes states are experiencing a big economic rebound with industries like manufacturing, energy, and engineering leading the way.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with this idea that the Great Lakes region is seeing a strong economic comeback? If you live in Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, or right here in Wisconsin, what have you seen? And on a personal level, are you one of the people that he talked about who might have considered living on a coast, but it was too expensive, and you picked the Midwest instead?
We're talking with Joel Kotkin of NewGeography.com. He says the Great Lakes states are experiencing an economic rebound, and we're looking at what these states are doing right and possible trends to come in the near future.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Wisconsin and other Great Lakes states are poised for a big economic success in the coming years? What industries lead the way where you live, and what still needs to be done? And what's your story? How do you fit into all this? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We've got Ashley with us in Coloma. Ashley, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I agree with your guest completely. I used to live in California, and we moved 3 years ago to Wisconsin because it's too expensive, and there was no way to secure a future for us or for our family. And we lived in Northern California in a small town, which was much less expensive than the coast. And since moving, we've been able to make a difference and buy a house. So it's been a good choice for us.
And how did you pick Coloma?
Well, we started in southern Wisconsin and had been saving for a few years, knowing that we wanted to buy a house. And we want to have a small farm. And this was the perfect town for that. We liked the small town feeling and found a nice affordable house with a nice small piece of property where we could have a few animals. And
well, Ashley, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story. We appreciate that. And Joel, does that sound like a case in point of what you're telling us here?
Definitely. You know, one unfortunate thing is, you know, I've been around for a while, and people used to do these things in the Bay Area or in L.A. They would go, and I remember friends of my father had a little farm up in Petaluma. Well, you couldn't buy a farm in Petaluma now for less than $5-10 million. I mean, and they were, you know, they were a family with eight kids, you know, a big, you know, big family, you know, living in the countryside in, you know, maybe an, you know, he worked in San Francisco, it was about an hour and 10-minute drive. That kind of alternative is increasingly difficult to get. The way that you do it in California today, if you don't have inherited money, is you hope that you bought a house 20 or 30 years ago, it's appreciated, and you stay in the market. But once you leave, as the song goes, you can never come back. And so there's a tremendous amount of pressure on people to make that decision, particularly as they get into their mid-30s, start thinking about having a family, thinking about buying a house, maybe thinking about starting a business. And that option is increasingly very difficult in California. It's becoming difficult in the Northwest. And obviously, it's also quite difficult in the New York or Boston areas.
Thank you for that call. And we're going to go next to Patty in La Crosse. Hi, Patty.
Hello.
What is your story?
Well, I just recently moved from Michigan. And with that, I left a job of 22 years in manufacturing and came to the La Crosse area and was able to find employment quite easily. There's low unemployment in La Crosse, great job opportunities for professionals, and I just find it to be a absolutely beautiful area.
Well, Patty, thanks a lot. Appreciate your story there, too. And Joel, you said that Michigan is kind of the star when it comes to a lot of what we're talking about here. Patty saying that the La Crosse here in Wisconsin had some things edging it up.
Well, you know, I mean, Michigan has had a really tremendous turnaround, and you know, part of it is also, you know, these things are cyclical. The Great Lakes state lost so much of their population that they're going to tend to have a little bit less of an unemployment problem just because so many people have left, that there are fewer people there to take the job. So there's you know, there's definitely, and this is something that happens all over in American history. You know, you have an area starts to depopulate. They start focusing more on their competitiveness. The labor market begins to tighten a bit, and people start moving back. And I think that, you know, when we look at the next, you know, 20, 30 years in this country, I think we're going to see that people are going to make a choice to move to a broad swath of the country, everything from the Intermountain West to the Great Lakes to the Third Coast, the area around the Gulf of Mexico. All those places are consistently getting very strong in migration from other parts of the country. And the days when you would look at a chart and you would always expect it that the cities in the Great Lakes would lead in out-migration, some of them still have that problem, but nothing on the scale that for instance, you know, New York has in terms of losing people.
We're talking to Joel Kotkin right now of NewGeography.com about why he says the Great Lakes stakes are experiencing a bump right now, an economic boom. And Joel, looking into your crystal ball, how bright is this future or this reality that you're seeing now, and what kind of challenges to its continuance do you see?
Well, I think there are going to be several big challenges. In the short run, obviously the high dollar is going to make it hard for U.S. companies that export. And I know that Wisconsin, which has a very high percentage of manufacturing and some very high-end manufacturing, could be threatened by that. So that's certainly going to be a challenge in the future. Another challenge would be is if we have a very radical phase-out of coal and even of natural gas, and that's going to be very tough on a lot of these economies, which depend on relatively cheap energy. So, you know, some of the regulatory challenges, particularly coming from Washington, could threaten some of this expansion. And, of course, there's going to be some major adjustments. I mean, one of the things we're also seeing, which I haven't mentioned, is immigrants are beginning to move to places like Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, because, you know what, they're not stupid. They know where there are job opportunities, and they also know where, you know, having a job actually can pay off for you to have a house. So I think that for these states, which have been homogeneous, let's say, since the 1920s, largely homogeneous, or 20s or 30s, are now going to have to adjust to being places where there's a big Hispanic population, big Asian population. And I think that's going to be a bit of a challenge.
And we've got to leave it there. Joel, thank you so much for joining us. Interesting stuff.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
That was Joel Kotkin, Distinguished Fellow in Urban Studies at Chapman University. He's Executive Director of the Center for Opportunity Urbanism. He joined us to talk about his recent piece called The Comeback of the Great Lakes States.